This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, people will have read a number of stories about problems with the supply chain, most as a result of Brexit, some as a result of COVID. For example, the story in the Financial Times this morning suggests that Marks and Spencer's could close some of its French stores after new Brexit border controls left it struggling to keep the shelves full of food. There have been many pictures in Britain in particular of empty shelves, particularly hit by all of this delay are frozen foods, chilled foods, such as sandwiches. And Marks and Spencer's believe it's down to the Brexit border controls being too complex. In Britain, there is a real problem in the supply chain because so many truck drivers have left England, many of them Europeans who went home. And of course, we have our own problems here to do with the Northern Ireland Protocol, and that threatens trade and many other things between the UK and Ireland, and of course, between both parts of Ireland, the North and the South. To discuss all of this, we're joined now by Verona Murphy. Verona is former president of the Road Haulage Association of Ireland. She's now an independent TD for Wexford, and her expertise has been often extremely helpful to us on this programme and to our listeners for understanding what's going on in a world that really we don't understand how important it is to our trade. Verona, thank you very much for joining us. The depth and the widespread nature of the crisis, I suppose you'd call it, in the road haulage business. Can you explain to us how bad it is, how deep it is, and what causes it?
Yeah. Well, Eamon, just to say first off, this is something that was brought to the government, the Irish government's attention, but also very much the UK government's attention, that Brexit would heighten the driver and mass exodus of drivers from the sector. And that was mooted now back as probably 5 years ago. As president of the Irish Road Haulage Association, I certainly tried to start a driver apprenticeship programme because we could see the shortage emerging to a crisis point. And we worked with government to try and get that off the ground. That didn't happen. Government didn't put the necessary measures in place. And 3 years in, we ended up going to a driver trainee programme. So we've lost 3 years. The driver trainee programme has been in place in Ireland for about 12 months. COVID, unfortunately, took a hit with that because it meant that driver training wasn't been undertaken, driver testing wasn't been undertaken. So now we're at absolute crisis point, and we've gone from what would have been regarded as 3,000 of a shortage to about 7,000 drivers here in Ireland. In the UK, the woes of Brexit plus COVID have meant that they are now 100,000 drivers short in the sector. And people, just a simplistic attitude to what this means, that means empty shelves in supermarkets. That's why you're seeing pictures of empty shelves. You're seeing refuse and recycling collections not happening because we don't have drivers for the trucks. All of these things, you know, are going to get much worse because it's a very regulated industry. It costs a lot of money to get into. The driver training is takes up to 6 months to 12 months. So there isn't a speedy solution, you know, that you can put in place. However, what you will see, what I've been lobbying at government level for on behalf of the sector, is that we would look at giving Ukrainian and Eastern European drivers who are willing to come and work in Ireland a visa.
Yes.
Which, you know, currently we're giving them to South Africans. We can source them in Japan, South Korea. Really not beneficial. The Ukrainians are used to driving on European roads. They also have a very safe record in relation to road safety, much safer, I'd say, on the world stage than the South Africans. And, you know, that's where government need to look for certainly a short-term solution, because I'm very much in favour of growing our own indigenous sector. And that can only be done through education and training. But in the short term, we are going to end up with the same problem as Britain if we don't get our act together pretty quickly.
Yes, and for example, in the UK, Nando's, which is an outlet for selling chickens, they had to close 50 stores. We see Marks and Spencer's being badly affected. And there have been stories in British newspapers that are alarming only to me and others who like turkey, saying that we won't get our turkeys for Christmas. Now, I don't want to reduce this very serious matter to a joke, but that's the kind of stuff that's out there. Is it fair to say that people, we all of us who aren't in the business of road haulage and who don't understand how central it is to our trade, that we really don't fully understand, we don't understand the dangers of it and how important it is?
Yeah, I think it's what's very, very important to stress here is, I know we can live without Nando's and we can live without McDonald's milkshakes, but yes, the reality of this is a very serious situation. What we can't live without are certain medical supplies. You know, we can't live without stable diet products on our supermarket shelves.
Yes.
We can't see rubbish not collected in our streets because of the health and safety aspect and rodent gathering. Everything that we're talking about in relation to driver recruitment in the sector is pertinent to our everyday lives. You know, people don't get it ordinarily. I understand that. But it's a sector that is highly regulated. It's a sector that is highly antisocial, because the reality is we're an island, and because Britain has exited, we are actually now 24 hours from the mainland EU, which means that drivers, it takes them longer to get to Europe, it takes them longer to get back from Europe, they're away from their families longer. We have got to put measures in place that allow it to be a more sociable job, because I can assure you now, drivers are being offered in excess, in certain cases, of 70 to 80,000 euros per annum to drive trucks, and they still don't want to get into the market. We have employers in the haulage sector trying to poach one another's drivers, and the reality is they can pay what they like, but they are still only able to pay a market range. The problem is they're drawing from the same pool of drivers.
Yes.
There isn't anybody extra there. And the reality of that just leads to a disaster. The UK have put certain things in place. They've allowed drivers of 3.5-ton vans to move up to the level of a 7.5-ton truck without having to undergo a test. Now, that's, you know, that is kind of an infringement in relation to road safety. It, whilst one may be capable, it doesn't mean everybody is.
Yes.
But I think the alternative is to allow thousands of small vans onto the road to try and cure this problem and distribute goods that way. But that, look, food-sensitive, date-sensitive product has to be on the shelves within its lifetime. If it's 5 days manufactured and not getting to the shelf, it has lost its market value. And the reality is driver's hours, any driver can only drive 9 hours a day, 10 hours permitted twice a week. So the regulation is arduous. We've got to look at that. We've got to look at that combined with who we give access to the sector to outside of the EU, you know, that we can actually access drivers, because our currently here in Ireland, our critical skills allocation is only for 380 drivers. It's not filled simply because nobody in Ireland has the expertise. Well, sorry, that might be an overstatement. Most people in Ireland don't have the skills to go and recruit drivers in Japan or South Korea simply because of a language barrier. South Africa is the preferred option because drivers speak English, and that's much easier, especially if they're going to be working in Ireland, the UK or mainland Europe. So the Ukrainians tend to speak English, or at least we now have a level of workforce here from Eastern Europe that can communicate with these drivers. So we just have to think smarter. We've got to get on top of this before it, like, it is a crisis. But I mean, government needs to start being proactive, you know, instead of reactive, because that's all we're getting from this government. And we're going from one crisis to another.
Yes. And I mean, in Marks & Spencer's case, and this story just broke this morning, they say that tons of food has to be actually dumped. And that in itself is foolish, but it's not the most extreme problem. I mean, the Brexit thing is a creature of Boris. The Minister for Transport, when you were campaigning here, was Shane Ross, was it not?
Yes, correct.
The great Shane Ross.
An individual who had absolutely no interest in the road haulage sector and actually would have refused to meet me on the basis that he believed I had insulted him. Look, I'm sure that's not in his book, but however, he's of little interest to us now. We now have two ministers for transport, Eamon Ryan and Hildegard Nocton. We also have the Taoiseach in the trade portfolio alongside junior ministers, Damien English and Robert Troy, all of whom I have corresponded with and have not yet received an answer. So, I mean, you talk about Marks and Spencers. Here's the difficulty with getting goods from Ireland or the UK, or Ireland through the UK to France. And that is a T2 transit form. Again, this is alien to your everyday listener. But there is nowhere that that form can be actually discharged in Calais, which it's done in every other European port, but it's not done in Calais. And the problem with that is it limits the amount of, driving time. It limits everything. It means that you wait for an office to open at 9 o'clock if you arrive at a difficult time during the night. They only work 9 to 5, 5 days a week. It has limited what we do. Logistics moves 24/7. Yes. And if you put limitations like that in place, then it causes huge problems. Now, it's caused Ireland a problem because we have drivers who do not want to go through that process, meaning then we are solely dependent on using the direct ferries, which is very expensive and not always accessible because we still don't have full capacity. So now we're faced with going through the UK and being delayed in France, or trying to get on a direct ferry that you may or may not get access to. And all of these things, that in Calais, as well as coming back here to Ireland and getting involved if you come through the UK with all of the regulatory agencies here, customs, health and safety, food safety, HSE, all of those agencies make this job very, very difficult. And unfortunately, my forecast throughout the whole of the Brexit process, Eamon, was that our regulatory agencies would actually dictate in such an authoritarian fashion and enforcing the minutiae of details in relation to regulation to the point of where they have caused mental anguish has led to a mass exodus of drivers here in Ireland. And that's a huge problem. But unfortunately, Ireland does regulation like no other country. So I don't see that there is a solution to that. It does, however, make the protocol. It makes the protocol and what's not being implemented very unfair on those who are coming through Irish ports of Rosslare and Dublin. Because nobody travelling through the north has to endure what was actually caused by Brexit. So it's ironic. Ireland are enforcing Brexit to the nth degree, and Northern Ireland are not having to endure an ounce of regulation, you know, because of the DUP, effectively.
Yeah, and we understand also that the European countries, particularly the French, are also, well, certainly in the case of UK products, they are observing the letter of the law as well. Just to take this on a little bit, there's grace periods that the British have, in the most recent case, unilaterally imposed. In other words, you don't have to obey the regulations just yet that are in the Brexit agreement. That's also going to kick in at some stage when the grace period disappears.
That's correct. But again, I mean, at the moment, it is a very on-level playing field because the benefit of that is only to those of Northern Ireland, either travelling in or out, whereas those here in Southern Ireland, as we call it, nobody likes to call it that, or the Republic, we have to abide by the regulation. And it is a very on-level playing field at the moment. Well, from my perspective, what I'm hearing is that it is actually, it's forcing Irish drivers to go to the UK and work and come from England into Northern Ireland and be able to go unimpeded for a higher wage because of their deficit. And that's what's happening here. So their problem is actually, it's a bit like when England gets a cold, we get the flu.
Yes.
You know, it's not, it used to be the other way around, but it's actually a huge problem for us now because the language is there. It's easier to take on an Irish driver. We can work because we don't have barriers. You know, regardless, they're doing it for 2 days a week and they're earning almost the same as if they were driving here for 5 days. But equally, we don't have the RSA. I'm not sure, and I have to clarify this, if the RSA are able to find out the infringements now that UK are a third country and whether a driver's record in the UK is accessible here for the Irish authorities. Because it's not the level playing field. The gap is getting so wide, you know, that Brexit is having a much worse effect on us here than we expected.
Now, what happens?
I mean, we knew it would be bad. It would be bad, but this was something that hadn't been considered.
What happens when the Northern Ireland Protocol row, which is still continuing between Europe and Boris Johnson and his representative on this matter, Lord David Frost, all of a sudden, what happens if the Brexit talks break down? And what will happen to, for example, if the UK has 100,000, is 100,000 drivers short as well? I mean, how do you see this if common sense doesn't kick in? There are political realities here, as I know you know, Verona, between the DUP and the Irish government, the British government. What happens if this breaks down? How bad could it be for farmers, retailers, and of course for trade in general?
Well, it can be very, very bad. And I mean, if I have a criticism of Simon Coveney, it is because of this situation developing for the 26 counties. You know, he has neglected to comment on the fact that the protocol is being implemented on this side of the border and not on the other side.
Yes.
And I think if those talks break down, we have come to a point where we have suffered enough and we need to look to the EU to say Ireland and the UK needs to do a bilateral here and end this scenario so that we actually go back to having a level playing field. Because what the consternation that's been caused because of the protocol is affecting the 26 counties more than any other country in the EU. It wasn't envisaged that it would carry on like this. Yes, I suppose hypothetically it said Brexit would go on for years, but the protocol was seen as the only option. And I'm still of the opinion, having worked in haulage for 30 years and speaking to counterparts in Northern Ireland, that the protocol is the only show in town. It's exaggerated by the DUP.
Yes,
the
of course.
Level of consternation in Northern Ireland is not there. And this is a political ploy, not a business case. So it's a political ploy for the DUP to gain favour with the people of Northern Ireland. It's not working because the situation doesn't exist. And yeah. the reality is that the sooner the Irish government take that on board on behalf of the businesses and the people of the 26 counties, the better. But in essence, if talks break down, if the EU were to pull out or if the DUP collapsed, Stormont, well, then we need to very much engage so that we form bilateral agreements.
With the UK. Now, we read and hear about the problems for your former colleagues, the road haulage industry. What about the problems Brexit has caused Irish business that is in export business? What I understand, Verona, is that people in Ireland who are trading with Europe, the land bridge they don't use now. They don't even trade with British companies. Britain has lost a lot of trade with European nations, including Ireland. People are now trading direct, both in outgoing and incoming things, with European countries. Is it practical for us as a nation, and indeed for Europe, to actually bypass the UK for the purposes of trade? So you'd sell your stuff, or indeed buy your stuff, from Europe that you once bought or sold to the UK?
Well, I think practical may not be the question, Eamon. It's very important to understand whether it's feasible or not.
Yes.
And I think if you look at, if you combine COVID and Brexit and the increase that has been seen, let's just use the housing sector as a model.
Yeah.
I mean, transport and haulage costs have risen by in excess of 20%. You've got to add that to the cost of housing materials because they're transported.
Right.
And you're looking at an increase on the house price of about 30% in less than an 18-month period.
Right.
So I don't believe it's feasible that we can look for product outside of our nearest neighbour where
right.
it is either readily accessible. You know, yes, we should be able to get to grips with the regulatory part of customs and paperwork to sort it out, but I just don't think it's feasible that we are going to have a housing crisis that can be, we can build affordable houses in the very near future. And I don't see this getting any better for 10 to 20 years. I think our housing crisis is going to be made much worse because of our relationship after Brexit. And we need to look at how that's going to get sorted because we are not sourcing the materials abroad. I had a gentleman onto me last week, very specialised materials coming from the UK. The UK company believed it could not ship that product to Northern Ireland because of Brexit and wasn't listening to anybody.
Right.
It was as simple as that. They were not even entertaining their Northern Ireland, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, they're an agent. They had an agent in Northern Ireland, but wouldn't actually ship to Northern Ireland because they believed they had to go through the customs procedure. That's not true because the product wasn't coming to the south. But there was no convincing them. So
yes.
there's all types of misunderstandings. But that is, you know, and that product then could be taken from the agent in Northern Ireland into the south. And that's where the paperwork would ensue. But there was no other way of doing it. It has now that builder in particular is without supply and can't source this product anywhere else. So, you know, we are going to find ourselves, the cost of everything is rising exponentially. Everybody has an excuse to put their prices up, even if they're not going up.
Yes.
But you will see the cost of living here rise exponentially. And it worries me greatly. It
yes.
does really, because it's the low-income earners that are going to suffer in the end, because everything we do, that's the bottom line. It comes down to that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Now, the number one priority for the European Union in everything is the single market. And how can we, as members of the European Union, in the context of our conversation, do a bilateral agreement with the UK? Is there a major problem there?
Well, if you talk about the single market and you say, you know, that that's the be-all and end-all for the EU, and I appreciate that, except for the fact that we are on the periphery. And it has always been pointed out that Ireland, in order to be competitive, you know, it's very difficult if you're 24 hours from your closest EU neighbour. That is difficult because the cost of bridging that gap is, you know, it's adding probably in the range of about $2,000 on every load and product that leaves the country. Right. You know, the contents of load, you've got to spread that across it. So ultimately, it affects Ireland's competitiveness. So are we better to consider dealing mainly with the EU or with the UK? Now, if we were all-encompassing and all-important under the Good Friday Agreement when Brexit negotiations were carrying on. Now, that's still very important, but what is now being used is the protocol.
Yes.
And the protocol only affects North and South trade.
Yes.
And the reality there is that it's working very much against the 26, and there is an onus on the EU to actually ensure that this problem goes away. Whether they devise a solution to the protocol or not, I'm not sure there is one, but the reality is that we have suffered enough in every way, and I just don't mean financially. There's a mental anguish that goes with all of the procedures that are carrying on in the South that are not being undertaken in Northern Ireland. So it's a bit like we did nothing to create the situation, but we're having to endure the detrimental effect of it. So I think that it's incumbent on our Irish politicians to signal to the EU very quickly that we are not going to put up with this, and that if they don't come to an arrangement with Northern Ireland and the UK, that we will do our bilaterals, and we should.
Now, there's been much talk, as you know, for the last 7 or 8 weeks about Fine Gael and cronyism and all of that stuff. If we get serious, a lot of that is piffle, but some of it reflects perhaps an arrogance on the part of some of the major players involved. The fact of the matter, in terms of what we're talking about and what you're concerned about, rightly, is trade. The Minister for Trade is Leo Varadkar, correct?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Do you think Leo Varadkar is sweating every day trying to figure out a solution that will enable Irish people to trade and indeed will deal with the driver issues or not?
No, I don't, because on the recent visit of President Macron here to Ireland, I had emailed all three ministers in that department, the Taoiseach, the Leo Varadkar being the chief minister, and Damien English and Robert Troy, as I said, being the juniors, as well as Hildegard Knofn, our transport minister, to mention to the president a solution needs to be found to discharging the customs paperwork in Calais so that we can undertake the land bridge at ease.
Right.
Because that is now the main problem, right? I didn't even get a response. Now, fundamentally...
Are you telling me...
Trade,
sorry, Verona, are you telling me that Hildegard Nocton is the minister with the most responsibility here?
She is transport. She is transport.
Yes.
But it's fundamental in that this is about trade, but it's also about transport in the road haulage sector. And because government have done little or nothing in which to make provisions for direct ferry services, as a matter of fact, they haven't done little, they have done absolutely nothing to improve the capacity of direct ferries, which means we are having to resort to the land bridge. People are not willing to, but that is the fact. We have to if we're to continue in business. But it is very difficult, and the timeline of doing that is not much more efficient than the direct ferry because of the customs protocol that the French are following.
Yes.
It is highly unusual not to have a discharge office in a main port the size of Calais. I'm assuming the French don't want it because they weren't intending on making things easy for the British.
Yep.
But the reality is it's affecting Irish hauliers greatly. It's affecting the drivers who drive those trucks who don't want to spend any longer on the journey than they have to. But this is imposing it. In some cases, it can mean 24 hours going out and 24 hours coming back. That's why drivers don't want to do this job.
Right.
And we have got to find a solution. It should be number one on Tánaiste de Bhreathnán's list in relation to trade. It should absolutely be a number one.
And number one on Ms. Nocton's agenda too, or pretty close to the top of it.
Yes. I'm not even sure they understand it, and that is the fact. They haven't engaged with me.
That's the point I'm coming to, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate this. Of all the people that we've spoken to on this programme, on this critical matter, over the past 2 or 3 years, you have the most handle on it, the best grip on it. You understand it in detail, and you understand the damage it can do to us and the importance and the central importance of this matter to our trading and to our business people. And they won't hear, they won't talk to you. Is that the situation?
Well, listen, they've been 8 weeks embroiled in the Catherine Sapone-gate scenario,
yes,
or Meriengate,
yeah,
in which case, for me, it is extremely frustrating. I am someone who believes in transparency and accountability, but the reality is that we have so much more important issues to get resolved. And I think at the end of the day, in relation to that particular issue, the electorate will decide when both the Tánaiste, Minister Coveney, and even Minister Pascal Donoghue come before them. They will decide whether or not that was an issue for them. But I can assure you, not having food on the shelves is an issue. Not being able to get the HSE to give you 1 hour of care a day, 7 days a week, is a huge issue.
Yes.
All of these things are huge issues. And 8 weeks of Meriengate has literally driven me off the head. It is for that reason that I will vote confidence in Simon Coveney. I think he is a fine individual personally, but the reason I'm voting confidence is that we get back to business. We do not need a collapse of government.
Yes.
The government may not realise it, but people are in a pretty dire place, both personally and in business, and we need to start taking serious where Ireland is at the minute, because it can get much worse. And transport and trade are joined at the hip when it comes to these matters. When you talk about solving the driver issue, the problem here in Ireland is it is an issue for trade to recognise that if we don't have drivers, trade suffers. They are willing to do the necessary, at least that's what they have indicated to industry. They say, however, that the problem rests with the RSA not recognising Ukrainian licences. So, I mean, if one department is not able to negotiate with the other how we overcome this issue, then I'm not sure whether these people are leaders or losers. And that is the real issue here.
Yeah, and would it be fair to say, finally, and I'm saying it, Verona, that the real scandal of Merrion Gate and the 2 months or more, if you go back to its origins, spent thinking about it, manoeuvring around the place, evading questions and all of that. This is time that has been spent to the neglect of a very serious issue of trade and transport facing the people of this country.
Yeah, I don't think you're overstating it. I will say that, as you say, they've been avoiding it, they've been doing everything. But the reality is the media have played their part in prolonging it. I have, and I look at, that's what their job is. But the point is the poor judgment that has been exuded here by all concerned, you know, there is poor judgment and there's been mistakes admitted. Now get on with it. I know we keep saying, you hear all the time is lessons have been learned. Could we see them, please? Could we see the lessons being learned from going from a crisis to an absolute calamity and disaster of having empty shelves? We can avoid it if they listen and if they start to be proactive, not reactive. Because that's all I've seen in my time I've been elected is reaction after reaction. And it's simply because people will tell you there is no votes in being proactive.
Yes.
There is votes in crisis management and taking the credit. Well, that's not good enough. And the people of Ireland are smarter than that.
Yes.
And they deserve better.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that they're getting better in this conversation, because the fact of the matter is the people of Wexford elected you to represent their interests, and the people of Ireland elected all of those people to represent their interests. But the point of the media coverage, I put it to you, Verona, is this. The incompetence, the arrogance, the cronyism that they're up to their necks in is the reason they've no time to deal with the real issues. It shows their character as people and, indeed, the quality or the absence of quality they reflect as political people who should be solving problems.
And I don't disagree with that. I mean, yes, I understand that the media has a job to do, which is what I've said. But I also believe that there was a certain point when there were other issues that were far more important and should have been highlighted. And yet this was continuing to take the headline. You're absolutely right. But I think we are elected representatives.
Yes.
And if I don't do my job, the people of Wexford are going to tell me that on the next polling day. And I think that in a situation like this, is where you get your answer to Merrion Gate. I do not think it is worth a collapse of the government that end up probably in the same scenario. We are at this point coming out of COVID. We are not out of Brexit. COVID has masked the effects of Brexit. We are only now beginning to see the real effects of Brexit because our country is opening back up. We're seeing where the supply shortages are. We're seeing where the sectors are devoid of employees. And it's across every sector. We're heading into a pretty dark place and we need to sit up with our eyes wide open.
Okay, Verona. Verona Murphy is the independent TD for Wexford, former president of the Road Haulage Association of Ireland. And it's a pleasure to have her on the stand. And we're very grateful to Verona for taking the time to tell us what's really happening. Thanks to Verona. Thanks to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.